The conversation started for the All New Kia Carnival, Australia's first GUV. Richmond take on Geelong at the MCG tonight.
I didn't want to start there. Can we start somewhere else?
You can start wherever you want. I'm just putting it out there. What's on tonight on the sporting landscape?
Okay, I just wanted to throw this out there. Have you ever coached against your son?
One day in the seat.
And how would you go coaching against your son? Because like for the first time since Bob Rose coached against his son Robert back in 1972, David Noble, the coach of North Melbourne, will coach against his son John this weekend against Collingwood. How would you go coaching against your son?
Great call. And have you done it before? And it doesn't have to just be footy or sport or your daughter in netball maybe, or basketball or footy if you've coached against your daughter in footy. I can't see how that had happened, but maybe it has.
Blood's thicker than water.
Not when it comes to footy, it's not.
Well,
no, blood's
how would you? How would you go, surely in the back, you don't want your son not to play well, do you?
Yes.
If you David Noble wants his son not to play well.
On that day, you want him to drop every mark. You want him to turn the ball over every time he gets it.
Does he, he knows his son better than anybody, right?
Yep.
Does he want to stitch him up? Does he want to end up playing somebody near him or on him that's going to stitch him up?
He doesn't want to.
And then
stitch
he's got to answer.
Up.
He's got to answer to John's mum at some point after this game as well.
Now that's an interesting concept. Listen, Dave, have a good day today. But if Johnny doesn't get 25, don't expect dinner when you come home.
That's right. Yeah, you'll be scaling.
Did Dennis Pagan
yourself
coach against his son? I don't think so.
He coached his son
at North Melbourne, but wouldn't have coached him when he was at Carlton, would he?
Did Ryan go somewhere else? I don't know.
No, I don't think he did. Dennis did.
I don't think he coached against him, did he?
I don't think so.
Anyway, somebody will know. We've got the best audience in the world.
So that's an interesting concept, isn't it, over the weekend? And that's a massive game. And Nathan Burke, that's a very good point, Dom. Nathan Burke coached against his daughter in the recent AFLW season.
He did. And they were embracing. There's a great photo of the pair of them after the game. Now, you did touch on the fact that there's a massive game tonight.
Yeah.
Richmond against Geelong. Just one question about this. Okay, Dustin Martin. Well, just one to start off, and that is Dustin Martin is back in the side.
Mm.
No Colin Jasny for Geelong. No O'Connor for...
I don't know whether he'd get that job again.
Maybe not. What do you do, given that there is recent success, Melbourne, Hibbert against Dusty, the way that he played him, when he picked him up, that type of thing. What do you do if you're Chris Scott tonight?
Well, I think you'd assign a person to him again. If you certainly what forward or centre you do, which is was the Hibbert. Hibbert didn't go onto the ball with him, did he?
No, he didn't. No,
he just took him forward or centre and did a fantastic job. I'm looking through the Geelong side, right? Is this where we say to Tom Stewart, you are an All-Australian defender, but you're an All-Australian defender / attacker. Like he's an attacking defender. He's never really been your lockdown. He can play on an opponent.
Yeah.
Is this where you challenge him to be Michael Hibbert? Do you say, right, Tom, we've loved what you've done. And maybe they value his intercept marking higher or too high to have to use him in the lockdown. But the bottom line is they've got to do something different for Dustin because they haven't been able
to. It hasn't worked in the past.
No. So you might say, but we need Tom Stewart intercept marking. Well, you had him intercept marking in the grand final for a half. And he was fantastic up until halftime. And then Dustin Martin blew the whole joint up.
Mm.
So I'm just wondering whether Tom Stewart could do that job.
That's a good point. What about Zach Tui? Is he the man for him?
Maybe, yep. Zach Tui, he's been used.
He's strong body, he's powerful.
Yeah. I think someone has to take that full responsibility. I mean, Colin Jasny did in the grand final. But and this is not a slight on Colin Jasny, but Dustin did to him what he's done to plenty of players over the journey. Just made a bit of a mess of him in the end.
And the other part to all this, obviously, is that Richmond were pretty good against the Bulldogs last weekend and Dusty didn't play. So it's not just that have to stop Dustin Martin, but in the past he's been a thorn in Geelong's side.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all goes about it. And the bottom line is, and everyone will talk about this today and tonight, of course, is that at the end of that grand final when Geelong was so good up until halftime and then got run over the top of, you sit there and go, what can we do? So you know what they did? They went aggressive. They went and got Jeremy Cameron. Mm. They went and recruited Isaac Smith. They went and recruited Sean Higgins. Now, by design or not, all of those three players haven't played together too often. They're back tonight. This is where we judge it. You make a decision where you give up lots of first-round picks for someone.
That's a great point.
you make a decision where you throw your lot in for a three-time premiership player at 30 years of age and you take Sean Higgins at 30 plus, you're doing it for a reason. And the reason's not necessarily to beat Richmond tonight. It's about learning about how you can beat Richmond in 3 months' time. So that's why I think tonight's fascinating.
Can we move on to Luke Beveridge? On last Friday night, when he was asked a question about Jamara Ugle-Hagan, he bristled at the suggestion that he should have been playing or whatever. He was much more conciliatory yesterday when he was talking about Jamara. This is what he had to say. And I'll ask you a question around this after we listen to the grab.
I wouldn't say frustrated is a word, but we've had some change in recent time because we've had some injured players and it's presented some opportunities for others. And, yeah, maybe, you know, players are always thinking about who's playing the role that they could take up. And he's got a strong desire to, you know, to play, you know, to make his debut. And so I'd think naturally that he'd be disappointed at times that he's not playing, but he understands that for the reasons and the way we're nurturing him that, yeah, there's some things he needs to tick off before he comes into the team.
He actually went on to say that he's at least a month away from playing.
That was his
possibly
last
playing, yeah.
Do you think that's...
Do you like the way they're handling him?
Yeah, I do, yep. And I understand completely with coaches that lose it. And what that's the real Luke Beveridge. Like, he's combative like the rest of the coaching fraternity, and he lost the game and he got a bit snarky and he realised that and he answered the question. That was the first question. I was listening to that yesterday. That was the first question. So the media pool probably looked at each other and said, well, someone's going to have to do it. Maybe draw straws. And he had a little wry smile and he handled it beautifully. So, no, I like the way they're handling. He put a month on. That doesn't mean he can't play next week. That's the old...
Don't ask me another question about this for a month. That's what it is.
No, that's the old, he's out for a year. And then if he comes back, no one's going to hold you to that and say, you see that for a year. That just takes all the pressure and heat out of it. So he said, no, it might be another month. That doesn't mean he can't play in a week or 2 weeks.
There is no rule out there, is there, that because you get taken very early in the draft, you've got to be played early in the season?
Certainly not.
None.
Riley Filthorpe was in the same boat for a side that, I mean, they were undefeated, the Western Bulldogs, with Jamara Ugle-Hagan.
Yeah.
Riley Filthorpe was taken at number two. And he played five or six games in the sample before Adelaide trotted him out last week. And he was fantastic. Kicked five goals on debut. So horses for courses. I think they know him better than anyone else. So they're working that really well.
This keeps coming through too. John Kennedy Sr. coached against John Kennedy Jr.
Yep. North, when he was coaching North Melbourne, and John Kennedy Jr. would have been still at the Hawks. So very nicely picked up from all those people that are sending that through. So Bucks has also spoke yesterday at his press conference, you know, backed up to Goey. I still want to get to the bottom of how Taylor Adams said that story about the feedback to Jordan to Goey was garbage or whatever he tweeted.
Well, the only person that can answer that, though, is Taylor himself.
Yeah, why would you say that?
Because we know it not to be the case.
Because
Bucks also said yesterday, he said that there'd been some, I don't want to misquote
it. Inaccurate.
Yeah, there's been a lot of commentary around that. What I will say is a lot of it is inaccurate.
Yeah, but senior players giving Jordan to go some feedback is, I don't know whether there's been other reports saying there was a dust-up or did I read that somewhere? That wasn't Peter Ryan's initial report. Ryan's initial report was that there was some honest feedback given to Jordan by some senior players, which I would have thought would have been fantastic.
And then Tom Morris actually said, well, Peter Ryan underplayed it a little bit, when he reported it initially.
Well, and then Taylor Adams said it's garbage.
Yeah.
And then Tom Morris said, no, not only is it true, Taylor Adams was leading the pack. Oh, how can you make head nod?
Okay, Bucks also went on to say, okay, the experiment of Darcy Moore playing as a forward is over.
Yeah, it is.
Do you support that? Do you think that they're now going to... Well, he said we're going to go back to the way we were playing because it's been confusing. Effectively, what he was saying, it's been a little bit confusing for players for us to move away from the way that we set ourselves up to play.
Of course I respect that. I respect that that's the way that Bucks wants to coach. I would love to... In fact, is there a possibility at all, Tim, that this might be the old double-double reverse Mullarch?
No, not at all.
You sure?
Not at all.
Darcy Moore at the start of the game runs to centre-half back and then sprints down the wing and goes to full forward?
No, there's no chance of that. Yeah. They lined him up yesterday when they were doing their training. My track watcher there at Collingwood said that he was lined up as one of the defenders yesterday.
No, I agree. And
he's going to play in defence again.
Yeah, so as I said to you all along, I suspect there'll be one out on this.
So you want to? You really want him to stay there?
Yeah, I do. And particularly against North Melbourne.
Why is that?
Well, this is an opportunity for them to get their scoring back on track. So from what I read there, Bucks is going, we're going back to our defensive DNA, so we'll try and win 12 goals to 10 or 10 goals to 8.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying. What he's saying, though, I think the deeper message there is that, like we set ourselves up to play a certain way last year, all through the preseason, the early part of this year. We've gone away from that. Now we've had a look at it. And we now believe that that's when we play our best football with this group of players. That's what we're going back to.
That's what you got to do as a coach.
You got to believe in something.
Yeah, you got to play to your
strength. Any plan's better than no plan at all, Gary.
Play to what you've got at your disposal. He says, too easy to play against. And the ball movement on the weekend that I saw from a Gold Coast Suns, particularly from their defensive half, was way, way, way too easy. So fair enough. Of course, I respect all that. I would still love Darcy Moore to play forward, particularly when Jeremy Howe comes back. Full stop?
Yep.
We're getting a flu shot today too.
I know we are.
Team from Chemist Warehouse.
Oh, is that who those guys are?
They look far too excited about sticking a needle into you for me, Wispy, but we will get that on air as well. So, big morning. And then you're going to talk to your mum. She might have to pick you up and dab a tear away from you.
Yes. It'd be nice if you did that for me.
Wisps, he's gone. He's almost clocked off early. Usually it's another hour on a Friday.
I looked at the clock and I thought, okay, well, I was in your chair yesterday. I would have wrapped it up there and I would have thrown to a break, but I'll just wait to see what Gary does.
Righto. As we go with the bloke. We're introducing the all-new Kia Carnival GEV, SUV-inspired design, spacious seating for all 8 passengers.
Kennards Hire is making trade easy with an express load-and-go service and heaps more. Melbourne, stop tangled hoses forever with Aussie retractable hoses. Supplied and installed for only $169.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
That's a bit of Engelbert Humperdinck for one of our listeners' mums who we're playing the mum's favourite song. So there's a bit of Engelbert. Gaz, Bucks can't win. If Bucks said yesterday Darcy was staying forward, you'd be going on how he should go back. Give it a rest, Gazza. That's from Ashley. You couldn't be more wrong, Ashley, if you tried. I've been saying this for a long time and I stick with it. And if you mustn't have been listening to us, Ashley. I'm a big Darcy forward, but I respect him going back.
Aaron Norton, pretty much the same at the Bulldogs, yes or no?
That's my whole sort of the basis. You're not going to find out about Darcy Moore in 2.5 weeks, right? Particularly the way they're playing. The Western Bulldogs, one area of perceived weakness is their back half. They don't go and throw Aaron Norton. They threw Aaron Norton forward and committed to Aaron Norton forward. Well, committed to him. They lost Bailey Williams. They didn't throw him back. They lost their next defender. They didn't throw him back. They were vulnerable. They committed to him, gave him a long run at it, and he's now developed into the most exciting. He was a backman, remember?
Yeah.
And he started forward and he struggled early and everyone said he's got to go back. Our mate Dougie said he's going to go back. He'll win a Brownlow back. They stuck with it.
Are you convinced that Darcy Moore will bear forward or could bear forward?
I am, but that's just my...
I understand that, but you are convinced that that's where he will be, play his best football and be best suited to Collingwood.
He will have a more celebrated individual career as a centre-half back, right? That's what I'm convinced about. He might win a Brownlow as a centre-half back. He might not win a Brownlow as a centre-half forward or a full forward. But what's best for Collingwood and what's best for the footy club, I think, is if you've got talented forwards, then you develop them. But that's just a philosophical debate.
I understand that, but what are the attributes that he has that you think will make him a great forward?
Well, his athleticism, his marking ability, he can convert the opportunities. I think he's footy smart. I think he understands and can see. You've got to get on the same page. I mean, you don't do that in 2 weeks, Tim. I don't know what they worked out in 2 weeks. I don't know how you can turn around and say, and which I don't think Bucks did, by the way. But people now say, see, I told you. You're not finding that out in 3 weeks. He kicked 25 goals in his first full year of footy, which compares more favourably than Nick Revolt, Jack Revolt, and there was one other I threw up the other day, Lance Buddy Franklin. So that tends to say that he's got a little bit of ability for it. Western Bulldogs take on Carlton at 3:20 this Sunday at Marvel Stadium. You can get a ticket for $20. They're on sale now. It's going to be a shootout, David Teague said. I don't know what Caleb Daniel thinks about that. So he's been good enough to join us. Welcome, Caleb.
G'day, guys. How are we?
Pretty good. You think it's going to be a shootout? You think you're going to be sitting back there half on the half-back flank just watching the ball fly over your head?
I'm hoping not. Hopefully our team defensive structure holds up a little bit better than the last half against Richmond this week. We'll see.
What happened, do you reckon, in the last half against Richmond, Caleb?
I suppose we probably lacked a little bit of composure with the footy and... Yeah, they opened us up a little bit, which was a bit disappointing, and we lacked a little bit of source pressure through the midfield. So we'll look to rectify that, I suppose, this week. The midfielders, I suppose, put a fair bit of more pressure on usually. So, that'll be good.
They brought some real heat to the game, didn't they, after half-time in particular?
Yeah, they did, and they're a quality side. So I suppose anyone that's able to remain composed and use the footy against them has a good chance to beat them. So we just weren't able to do that on the weekend. And, a few takeaways from the weekend that we'll look to sort of implement this week.
Hey, there's a debutant. Hopefully I'm pronouncing this right. Buku Kamas, debuting down back. How do I go with the pronunciation? And what can you tell us about him?
Yeah, I think you got it pretty spot on. That's what I've been calling him. So... Yeah, he's a really athletic player, so he's taken his time. I think he's played a fair bit of AFL footy, and he's really came into his own this year. And he's a sort of high flying rebound defender, I suppose, and looks to intercept mark. He's a really quality player, and we're super excited to have him play his first game this weekend.
That'll be sensational. He's in the back half, so he'll be part of your group. What sort of advice would you be giving him when he lines up for the first time?
I suppose just take it all in and enjoy the moment, I suppose. Same that Bob Murphy sort of told me is you're allowed to, you know, have a smile and enjoy the time, and, you know, you're in the team for a reason. You've got your qualities, and just bring them to the floor and you'll do well.
What about his story, the background story to his arrival in AFL football? Extraordinary it is, Caleb.
Yeah, it's a really special one, you know, being born in Africa and making his way over and, you know, falling in love with the game that we all love. So, yeah, it's a really, really special story. And to come from sort of where he's come from, I suppose, when he was first drafted, you know, he had a pretty low fitness base and he's done all the right things to get himself, you know, fit enough to play AFL footy. And, like I said, we're super, super excited to have him come and join us on the weekend.
And the coach seemed to get a little bit emotional when he was announcing the fact that he was going to debut too at the weekend.
Yeah, he's a really emotional guy and he wears his heart on his sleeve, Bevo. So, it's always special when a player debuts and plays his first game. So, he'll always be pretty emotional and pretty happy for the player. But, like you said, given Buku's sort of way through the system and to get to where he is, it's really special.
With Caleb Daniel from the Western Bulldogs, you had a fantastic year last year, All-Australian best and fairest. Have you noticed teams that are putting a bit more work into you now? Are they playing a bit differently against you?
There's probably been a couple of teams that have, I suppose, played sort of a little run with Ford and different things like that, but... yeah, I suppose we've got a lot of damaging half-back flankers and, if they come to me, it's going to open up a lot of our other damaging ball users, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. So, I can't complain too much as long as the team's succeeding and, we're winning.
How many blokes in the team get the licence that you get to just shape the ball the way that you do and take the kicks that you do? Everybody or just a select few?
Everybody's got the right to do it. It's whether, I suppose, they've got the confidence to try and pull it off or, I suppose, the skill set. I like to back myself in, and if I find sort of an open target and I think I can hit it, then, you know, I don't see why players can't take it on, I suppose. And Bevo's really good with that. He instills the confidence in the group to take their kicks and, you know, be bold with the footy. So I think everyone's got the licence. It's just... yeah, whether or not the person themselves has the confidence.
Very much looking forward to this game between the Bulldogs and Carlton at the weekend. Before we let you go, Mother's Day on Sunday, what have you got planned for your mum?
Not too much. Probably she's from Adelaide, so probably just a phone call, and I've sent her a couple of things. So hopefully they find their way there in the right time. So, but yeah, we'll all see. I'll definitely have a chat with her on Sunday, though.
Lovely.
Excellent. And what other advice did Bob Murphy hand out? So he just said to you to don't take it too seriously. Was that his first bit of advice? What else did he say?
It was just more, you know, the first your first game. Just make sure you enjoy yourself. You're allowed to look around the crowd, have a smile, and that sort of stuff. And, you know, yeah, you've dreamt your whole life for that sort of moment. So I suppose, yeah, enjoy it while it's there. Because it does get serious.
Have a look around the crowd.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So he's watching me.
Yeah. All right. Caleb, thanks for joining us, mate. We appreciate it. Good luck. Big game. $20. If you want to get along to this game, there's no bad seats at Marvel. $20 tickets sale on now. That's all thanks to Pedigree. Thanks for joining us, mate. Good luck.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks, lads.
That's on you, Caleb.
Daniel. Yeah, so Bob's sort of saying, don't worry, just get in and see how many people are looking at you. That's how
have a look around the crowd. Don't really concentrate on your... Well, that goes to the heart of what you've said about halfback flankers for a long time now.
It does, doesn't it? You don't have to worry about a man. Just wander out, see how many people keep...
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, have
see
fun.
If you can't get 30.
Yeah, get 30. Don't play on anyone. If your man does kick a goal, you just go, wasn't me. Well, yeah. I was in a different zone.
As long as you're smiling, enjoy the afternoon. Sure. Doesn't matter whether you win, lose, as long as there's a few people along there watching you play.
Got to the bottom of it's a pretty big story that Caleb's just led us into. It's Mother's Day on Sunday. Chemist Warehouse, the Real House of Fragrances, have been great supporters. We've been talking to mums of players throughout the course of the week. We did this with our dads on Father's Day. Alan was a revelation. Couldn't shut him up. He was magnificent.
He was.
And my man Panch went all right. So we're going to talk to our mums. And my mum, Bev, joins us on the line. Happy Mother's Day, Mum.
Thank you very much, Gary. Lovely.
She's gone with the posh voice. I told you she'd go with the posh voice on radio.
I have not.
Bev, it's a pleasure to speak to you this morning because it gives me the opportunity just to correct a few things or clarify a few things that Gary has said to me over the years, okay? I just want to put a couple of things to you, Bev. He said that as a junior tennis player, he was so good that he could have won a couple of Grand Slams. Was he that good?
Oh, no, he's very naughty. No, he was naughty on the court, Tim. He was too competitive and got cranky when he missed a shot. Shot, no, not good on the tennis court.
Did you ever have to discipline him for poor behaviour on the tennis court?
Most definitely. I pulled him off one day.
You dragged him off the court, not by the ears, surely.
Yes. No, bad behaviour. I couldn't cope with it, Tim.
Okay. Now, the other thing he said was that he was very smart at school. He jumped a grade. Was that only because he was so good at football or because he was good at the schoolwork?
Well, I've got to say he was a bit of a smarty at school, yes. He did very well, actually.
Yes, I would have jumped another one, but my elder sister was in the next class. They didn't want me in the same class.
Now, apparently he had a bad reaction to egg sandwiches one night after the Year 10 breakup party. Tim, do you recall that with any clarity?
Who have you been talking to, Tim?
I do indeed. Yes, he had a spill. He said he had, not too good, Mum. I've had egg sandwiches. But, yes, I know why he wasn't too good.
Did you smell anything on his breath?
Oh, well, yes. I knew he'd had a little tipple, Tim. Yes. Yeah.
$1.90 bottle of Spumanti.
Exactly.
He often talks about your cooking, particularly as a kid when he used to come home from school. What sort of delights did you bake for him for that after-school snack?
Oh, look, I could see him riding his bike down the path, Tim, and I had to get all the cakes and the slices. He's a bit of a sweet tooth after school. He liked all those nice things. So he was well looked after, I can tell you.
And I've spoke... What was your sister that came in here that I met? What was her name?
Tracy.
I've met Tracy. Tracy said in the household you graded the food. There was the special stuff for Gary and then there was the other stuff that was the leftovers for the rest of the children in the family. Is that correct?
No, not quite right. But they always said he was the golden boy, Tim. So, you know, that's where that came in.
And was he?
This is your last question, Tim. You've done a nice job.
Well, he was up there, Tim. Yeah, we were pretty proud of him.
I think that's a yes.
And you should be. So just one final question. Well, he often talks about trotting and driving and that type of thing. Did he have a particular talent in this area as well?
Very good driver.
Oh, he thought he did. But, yeah, he used to get on and go around the track. But, yeah, he wasn't too bad.
Mum, you've done well.
You've done really well.
You've used your posh voice, which I thought you would on the radio, and you've handled it beautifully. What's on for Mother's Day? I would love to be there, but I've got commitments.
I know you would. Well, I hope the sisters will look after me. I think it's breakfast, I think, yes. So that'll be nice.
Is Dad sitting there next to you critiquing you? Is he writing a few lines for you or not?
Oh, Pants is in the other room saying, do this. I said, no, I'll just go with the flow.
Exactly. Do it your own way. Right. Bevan, you've done beautifully this morning, and enjoy Mother's Day on Sunday.
Thanks, Tim, and happy Mother's Day to your mum too.
Thank you.
Love you dearly, Mum, and you'll be getting the $100 Chemist Warehouse voucher from me for Mother's Day. We'll talk to you Sunday.
Oh, how original.
Yeah, spend it wisely, Bev.
Good on you. That's my mum, which is nice. Now I get to reciprocate because have we got Edna on the line? Edna Watson is there, the mother of Tim. Edna, welcome to SEN Breakfast.
Good morning to you too.
So good to talk to you. I'm a great admirer of your son. I love him dearly.
Good morning, Mum.
Morning, Tim. I love him too.
Oh, that's good. He loves you. I know that for a fact. I've got some questions that I'd like to ask if you could clarify for me. Did you think Tim would be a priest? Because he did win the best attendance at the Sunday school every year.
He told me he was going to be a minister, and when he changed his mind, he said he was waiting for God to call him.
He didn't get around. But he was a regular at Sunday school?
Every Sunday.
Oh. Yep. We had to, though, didn't we, Mum? We had no choice, really. You made us go.
No, that's right.
And
that's
what time did you used to put the roast on before we headed off to church? At 8:30 in the morning?
At 8:30, we put the roast on and put the veggies on when I came home quickly because we only had a wood stove.
That's right. That's right. We did it pretty tough back in the day.
Did Tim go out and chop the wood for you?
Oh, I can't remember that.
I'll tell you one thing you never found on our roast, Mum, at lunchtime. That was a rare bit.
No, we didn't.
It was well cooked.
Hey, Edna, Tim told me one day, and I don't think I've really believed him, but I will believe you. He reckons elephants escaped from the circus and ran riot up your street one day. Is that right?
That's true.
What?
And the next door neighbour, she was nearly crying because they trod on one of her petunias.
I think they dumped something on the other. Well, I can't remember the man's name up the street. He had a lovely set of. He had lovely roses out the front there too. I think they dropped some compost on the way through too, didn't they?
Oh well, that's probably quite normal.
And what about his paper round, which he bangs on about? He says, "I know the value of a dollar. I did a paper round from the age of 6 or 7. Did he pinch a couple? Did he always bring a couple extra home?
No, we didn't get any spare papers. Right. We only got punctured tyres.
We had a lot of bindi eyes on my paper round. That was the problem.
I loved Tim. His story is great. He left home when he was 15. Was that how hard was it to see him wander out the door? Did you give him a shove out the door?
I told them they couldn't take him if they were going to play him in the under-19s.
Had to be in the seniors straight in.
Oh, I didn't know that, Mum. I didn't know that's the reason why they didn't play him in the under-19s.
Yeah,
who did you say that to?
I said it to Kevin Egan and them that. Ted Fordham, they couldn't play you in the under-19s. You weren't going if that was going to happen.
Okay.
He said, no, that won't happen.
And did Dad's mum, Grandma, did she stop talking to you for a while after that, after you left me in Melbourne there?
I don't think anybody forgave me. They thought I was crazy.
Hey, Edna, the other thing is, now, Tim says you were very nervous when he was playing footy and that you never actually went and watched a game of him over his at Essendon. Is that true?
No, that's not true. I went to his first game.
Right.
And when he ran out on the ground, I cried.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
So you did go. I didn't even remember that, Mum. So you went to one game, but you never went to another game after that, did you?
Oh, yes, I did. But I didn't go to the grand final, Tim.
Oh, the grand final. That's right. You started sweeping.
Tim said you started sweeping the floor in the 1993 grand final. You end up sweeping right down the main street.
I did. That's true. I swept with the broom because I was just so nervous and I had to do something, so I swept the footpath. I think it was at Richmond or somewhere. I don't know where, Brunswick or somewhere. I don't know where.
You don't know where you ended up?
I don't know where I ended up. And I was pretty nervous.
Oh, yeah. When we spoke to Alan, I had to get to the bottom of something that had been troubling me for a long while, and that was him and Glenn Hawker's relationship was always a very testy one. Were you aware of that?
It was only because he wouldn't share the chocolate.
Yes. I knew that. Edna, see, I knew that was true, and I've got to the bottom of it. The only other one I wanted to clear up today was that fashion, he thinks he's a bit of a fashion trendsetter here in Melbourne. I don't know. Back in the day, he thinks it was because that you only ever gave him his hand-me-downs from his brother.
That happened, and the handymans down from their brothers were handymans down from their cousins.
How come I never had any new clothes when I was a kid, Mum?
Because we couldn't afford them.
No.
True as sad.
True and sad, but you've done a great job this morning, Mum. And enjoy Mother's Day. You know, I won't be able to get up there because of work, but enjoy Mother's Day on Sunday too.
Thank you. We will.
We'll be thinking of you.
Yeah, and you all have a happy day as well.
Good on you, Edna.
Thank you. Look after the wives.
Yeah, I had one more thing. Were you having trouble with your Foxtel connection? Oh. I said I'd sort that out for you. Did you? Were you having a problem with that?
They said they'd charge us $49 a month, and when we got the bill, it was $59 a month.
Not good enough.
I'll look into that, Edna. I can't make any promises. Thanks for joining us.
Tim said, what are you complaining about $10 for, Mum?
That's a lot of money, Tim.
Yeah.
You could pay the extra $10, Wispy.
More than happy to.
Thanks, Edna. Have a great day. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you. Yeah, you all too. Thank you.
Bye, Mum.
Ah, melts my heart. A lot of that stuff I found. You said she never watched your place. You reckon she's watched every game?
Well, maybe I got it confused. She never went to any of the finals. That's what I got confused with. I tell you what, we were in alignment regarding Glenn Hawker, though.
Yep, there's no doubt about it. If he ever gets a block of chocolate again, I'd suggest that's Tim's mum, Tim's dad, and Tim himself that can't that haven't got over that. Oh, fun Friday. Chemist Warehouse, that's where you go on Sunday. Get your mum stuff. So, Tim, how beautiful is your mum? Exactly right. That is absolutely fantastic. I love hearing the stories about you and your mums. And Gary's mum is beautiful as well. So thank you very much for that.